is the UR Business Network.
Welcome to the Making Headway Show on the URB Business Network. This is your host, John King, president of Headway Strategies Consulting, based here in the Boston area, bringing you today's show. The Making Headway Show provides individuals and entrepreneurs, executives, and managers with information about emerging or current topics that could have a significant impact on their business and their careers. At the conclusion of the show, we will post a blog summarizing the content that we reviewed, as well as some graphics and contact information for the host and the guest for follow-up questions from the listeners. Today we're going to discuss the benefits of effectively developing synergies with the different generations in a workplace given their individual characteristics. In the studio today, we have someone with significant experience in this area, Mark Conley, a former partner of mine from CSC. Mark previously ran the operations component for a consulting organization, which included consultants from recent college graduates to experienced consultants with over 30 years of experience. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks for having me, John.
It's great to have you here. In this discussion, we're going to first talk about the stages of different generations that we have to work with and their individual characteristics and values. That'll help us understand better how to work with them. And try to develop some synergistic approaches to the workplace. I'd like to use a quote from George Orwell. George Orwell, for those of you that had to read him in high school for 1984, his comment was, "Each generation imagines itself to be more intelligent than the one before it and wiser than the one that comes after it." So with that in mind, we have to think about ways that we can work with the different values that the generations have in the workplace. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the different generational groups that we have in the workplace today. The first group is the matures, traditionalists, or greatest generation. They're the group that lived through World War II, the Depression, and saw some significant changes after that. They're mostly retired or working part-time. They're in command. They were really like to have command and control, and self-sacrifice was something they went through as part of the Depression. Their likes were that they liked authority, family. They disliked waste and technology. The next group is called the baby boomers or the me generation. They came into play after 1946. They're in leadership positions today or retiring or working part-time. They were very optimistic and workaholics as they demonstrated their attributes. And they liked responsibility, they liked a work ethic, and they had a can-do attitude. They didn't like laziness, they didn't like turning 50, and some of us who don't like turning 60 went through that as well. Generation X, or the latchkey generation, starts in around the middle 60s and goes up until 1980s. They're working and moving into leadership positions, and in some cases the baby boomers are finding them to be their new bosses. They are independent and somewhat skeptical. They like their freedom. They like multitasking. They like a work-life balance. They don't like red tape, and they don't like hype. The Generation Y, which also is called the millennials or next gen, they're entering the workforce, and they're trying to get a job. Some of them are recent graduates from college that are they're suffering in the current work market that we have today. But they are hopeful and determined. They like activism. They like the latest technology. They like their parents. They don't like anything slow, and they don't like negativity. Following the millennials is a group they call the Z generation, and they are also called the homeland generation. And they're beginning to enter the workforce, so people in that generation would be about 15 years old today, and they would be just starting to enter the workplace, maybe at a grocery store, at a fast food restaurant or someplace like that. And we really don't have much on them in terms of the attributes and what they like and what they don't like, but I suspect they're going to be pretty close to what we see with the millennials and Generation X. So with that in mind, I'd like to get Mark's perspective on what he experienced in the organization that he was at previously and how he had to work with the different types of age groups that were in the workforce.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Thank you. So first on the Gen Z folks, because it's fresh in my mind and kind of left off with those. I think the one thing that's going to be apparent with those is the infusion of technology that those folks bring to bear. I mean, they've known nothing, but technology almost from day one, right? The concept of texting is very very natural to those folks, where many of us had come to appreciate and learn all the technology. So I think technology is going to be like a third arm for many of these Gen Z folks. As far as the other groups go, the characteristics you've got here, I think, are very true. They rang true for me. My observations, I guess I'll kind of group them into two different groups. I think the mature or traditionalists, as you said, we see fewer of them because they're beginning to retire. Along with the baby boomers, I think that's a group of folks that tend to have come from what I would call more of a traditional workplace background with more rigidity, more structure, and perhaps more of a hierarchical, career growth model. I think versus the Generation X and Generation Y folks, and I think this is going to also be true for the Gen Zs when we see them in the workforce, I think that's a group that is less focused on a structured work environment, a hierarchical workplace, a hierarchical process to progress your career. I think that the Gen X and the Gen Y folks, from my observations, are keenly focused on the results. They want to be managed and judged on the results of what they do, not necessarily the methods by which they get there. And so I think that's a bit of a different, and management has to learn how to handle and deal with and manage effectively both of those groups of folks that are coming from and oriented to a different way of working successfully. I think both can get from point A to point B, but the method by which they get there is somewhat different.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we talked about earlier was that, the idea of putting in your dues and having to follow specific processes is what drives these people nuts, and that they don't particularly care for that approach, that too much structure, too much process is there.
Absolutely agreed. I think that, the fact that, X number of years to get from point A to point B does not appeal to the Gen X and Gen Y generation. They want to say, can I perform at the level that you're expecting, for the next promotion, for instance, rather than how many years did it take you to get there? And that's one difference between the two groups.
Right, and that'll continue to get more play as more of these folks get into the workplace and are up at the leadership levels where they can direct that. I think that's very clear to me. And I think that one of the things that we saw was in our research was that Each of the groups were surveyed by the Pell Report, and they were trying to figure out what they really saw to make them unique. And some of the things that they came up with were somewhat surprising. So the World War II, the traditionalists, I mean, they believe that, hey, look, I what makes me unique is I got through the Depression, I got through World War II, I'm smarter, I'm honest, I have a great work ethic, and I've got great values and morals. The boomers looked at it and said, hey, we've got a great work ethic. That's what we're about. We're respectful. We have strong values and morals. And we're the baby boomers. And we're smarter. Then comes Gen X. And they said, well, we use technology. That makes us better. That defines us. We have a strong work ethic. We're conservative versus traditional. We're smarter and we're respectful. So that's not too far off from the other groups, although the number one category has changed a little bit. The millennials came along and they say we use technology. 24% of them, they said they. I'm sorry, 24% of the reasons that made them unique said that they were technology users. Then it went to music and pop culture, and then liberal or intolerant. And if I look at that, really the first three things that the millennials use to describe themselves as is really around more cultural stuff than it is actual work environment. They also thought they were smarter, and clothes were a big thing for them. I don't know that dress for success was right there, but clothes were a big thing for them as they evaluated that. So those are some interesting characteristics. And if I think about it, I mean, I see that certainly in the workplace where the traditionalists and the baby boomers tend to dress up a little bit more than the others as they go through it.
I think I think you're absolutely right, John. I think with the millennials, what we're finding is the line that defines, you know, work time and home time, or work-life balance, if you will, is blurred. You know, because of the technologies that the millennials are so comfortable with, there's this concept of always connected, right? You've got your smartphone in your hand, and you're connected to home, and you're connected to work, and you're kind of multitasking all day long, you know, morning, noon, and night. As a result, you may be working from home, dressed in casual clothes, working in a casual environment, while also multitasking and taking care of some home things. I think the lines have blurred a bit because of the technology, and therefore the mindset has changed a bit with the millennials.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, even the workplace too. I mean, a lot of people are working out of their homes today, or out of their home office, and instead of going into an office. And I think that makes a big difference too. And it changes the communication style.
Right.
Because if I wanted to talk to you when we worked together, when I wanted to talk to you, I'd walk down the hall and I would say, "Hey, Mark, what's going on? Or here's the issue I have. Can you help me out with it?" And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, "Well, I've got a guy who's working for me. He's a millennial. And what he does is he writes a one-page email to me, and he is two doors down. He doesn't bother to get up. He just wants to send an email to it, and maybe it's a text, but he wants to get that out." And that's the way they communicate.
Right.
So that's different than what we went up to, because we were, I think, used to more of a dialogue back and forth to get to what the resolution was going to be.
Right.
So those are some of the things. And I also think that as the technology has improved, the ability to be connected to the level we are right now is almost it's much different. Certainly, it was when a computer and when I first started in a workplace filled a room.
Right, and I think coming with that, you know, the technology is phenomenal, and the ability to be connected all the time. But I think some of the, you know, the challenges that come with that is, and we've observed some of this with you know, the most recent years college recruiting. You know, the ability to have a direct eye to eye engaging conversation with some folks, and not all, but some folks coming out of school, is a bit more challenging than we've seen in the past. I think because of the reliance on that gadget in the smartphone, the gadget in the hand, the comfort level with texting as a primary mode of communication, some folks that are coming out of colleges nowadays are less comfortable, let's say, in the, you know, the interviewing process, the eye to eye, look me in the eye, tell me what you want to do, tell me what your challenges are, you know, tell me what your passion is. You know, they're much more comfortable putting that into text and sending a text on that. So I think it creates a challenge for current managers who may be in different generational categories to figure out, okay, how do I understand and capture and deal with someone who's got perhaps a different way of communicating than I'm used to.
Yeah, it's a very short level of communication. They want to have the answer right now.
It's almost bulletized, right?
Right now, and going through that. So there was an article in the paper where they're talking about how cursive writing is going away because everybody's doing that. But we won't get into that in this particular show. But that is the changes some we're looking at. So if you could go back to talk a little bit about some of the issues that managers and supervisors need to be aware of. You touched on that a little bit. What things do we think we have to do in order to really work with these groups that are multi-generational in the workforce?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So one is, I think it's the easiest thing is when you're dealing with, you know, someone from a different generational category, let's say, than you perhaps are oriented to, it's easy for the defenses to go up. So the first warning that I have for anybody in any of these categories, when you're dealing with someone from a different category, whether it be a Gen Xer dealing with a boomer or a Gen Y or vice versa, is to be conscious of and not put the defense mechanisms up, because someone has a different way of communicating or a different way that they want to be managed, right? So it's we need to all collectively look for, you know, how does the other group best respond, and then cater. You know, it doesn't mean we have to completely change, but let's tailor our management style so that we can really truly get the best out of people. The other one, I think, the other area that's going to need significant change, I think, is in the areas of performance management. And as performance management then rates itself to promotions and salary increases and other things, I think, again, back to the more hierarchical, structural, more rigid, you know, process-oriented steps that maybe the boomers are used to, are a Generation X and Generation Y, and certainly millennials, are much more results-oriented. So I think there's going to have to be some changes imposed within the performance management. So project reviews and annual reviews are written, and the criteria that they're using, you know, less focused on the process and more results oriented, because I think that group is increasingly more results oriented. Are they getting the job done? Are they getting the objectives done that they've been asked to do in the role that they're in? Yeah, and if they have, how do we measure that and reward them?
One of the things I think that comes out is they want to get the job done without being bound by work rules.
That's right.
And I mean, organizations I've come to in the past and come through in the past, and certainly with software development. We had a very rigid process for taking something from development into a test, into production, so that we didn't bring down the system. I think today that whole thing has shifted based on the way the technology has afforded us to make things happen faster.
That's right.
And that does take some change, because we want to go back and make sure we have everything all the way we need to before we make a change. So those are things. I think one of the other things that comes down is that we talked about mentoring. And one of the techniques that people talk about is being able to mentor between the generations. So you can pair up a millennial person with a baby boomer, and they might be able to, the person that's a baby boomer might be able to talk about process, maybe able to talk a little bit about some experience they had and share that with the millennial, so they get a better sense of how to work in the workplace. But on the other hand, the millennial can help them with the technology.
Yeah,
and you know, how do I get my cell phone to work? Oh my gosh, I got this giant cell phone that can do more than any computer I had when I first started working. How do I get that to work? And they can spend 30 seconds and get you squared away.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a tremendous amount of passion, you know, with the I'll call the younger, the newer generations, right? The Gen X and the Gen Y, and maybe it's because of that lack of rigidity and structured, you know, background. They don't know it. They don't bring it to the table. And seeing it and being exposed to it. I mean, when we were recruiting folks out of colleges, you almost wanted to get yourself in a room with those folks just to get an infusion of energy. You know, it's like you need an IV boost from of energy, because they exuded passion and energy. You could see it. You know, it hadn't been beaten down in them, and it was really, really fun, you know, to work with and see the energy and enthusiasm for folks coming right out of school and wanting to figure out how do we bring that into our organization and have it be contagious so that we can all benefit from it. I think that's the challenge to managers today. How can you capture that passion, that energy, and then make everybody benefit from it?
Right. I mean, in our business of consulting, I think there was another challenge, is that you work with clients, right? And so you might be working with a client that is a baby boomer and you're a millennial, and you can't run that fast. You've got to interpret how they're going to react and be able to plan for that. So
right.
It can work both ways as it goes on.
That's right. And I think there still are need to be common sense, you know, rules on how much flexibility and how much kind of free-rolling passion, you know, works in any particular work environment. If you're in a software development house and you're in-house and there's lots of room for creativity and it's a ping-pong table and you bring your dogs to work, you know, that's one environment. If you're in an environment like we were in consulting, John, where you are sending folks out to all different client sites, you know, and some may be fairly financial services tended to be fairly conservative, right? We need to have clientele that have the passion, but also can fit and be successful in our clients' work environments with all different generations that are working there as well.
I think that's clear that's the other side of the coin that we have to work with as we interface with people. Even in a service environment where you're doing customer service, if you would, you have an expectation for some level of interchange between people. And if you don't get it, it deteriorates the relationship and doesn't become as successful. So let's talk a little bit about the paradigm shift in terms of the working environment. We talked a little bit about working from home. And the concept of FaceTime, and for those of you that have iOS systems, it's not the Apple FaceTime. It's really the FaceTime talking to somebody right up front. So FaceTime management versus reality management. Reality management is communicating however you communicate, either through text or email or I guess in worst case, voicemail. So younger workers are looking for more informal ways of communicating and freedom to be creative. The casual and comfortable versus the dress for success is clearly one of their thoughts. And the thing that has caused a lot of challenges within the technology environment, especially with large organizations, is to bring your own device. Because in some cases, the people coming into work have a laptop or a tablet or an iPad or what have you that is much more powerful than what they're issued in the workplace. And they'd rather work with that because they've got their personal stuff on it as well as their stuff for business, which is a challenge from a security standpoint.
Well, there's the blurring of the lines once again, John. And you're absolutely right. In our case, you know, security is a huge piece when people are bringing, or at least potentially bringing their own devices to the table. You know, each organization is going to have to make sure that the work-related content on that device is protected, particularly if you get in a situation where, like we are doing consulting, you may have client-centric information on there as well. So the, you know, security is absolutely a priority. And you know, as you begin to transcend technology, different types of devices, different types of operating systems, the Android versus iOS, you know, the complexity of the security can become overwhelming.
Yeah, I think it can. And it's going to continue to be a challenge as time goes on. So let's maybe summarize a bit with some of the takeaways that I was hoping to get out of this discussion, which I think we did, is that first off, the greatest generation is leaving the workplace. So those people are retiring and they're going to have minimal influence going forward. The boomers will be in the workplace in a diminishing numbers for the next 15 or 20 years. And then Gen X and Y will continue to grow in influence in the work environment. So we're going to see some difference in the tenor in the workplace. We're going to see some different values for organizations. We're going to see some pushes for activism versus what we do today. And the Gen Zs, we don't know what they're going to do, but I suspect they're going to be very similar to what Gen X and Gen Y are about, and that we're going to continue to see the infusion of technology into the workplace and how to deal with it. There's some unknowns that are laying in the weeds out there, and I think that the political environment that we are operating on, either domestically or worldwide, as well as the deficits, terrorism, international conflicts, will have an impact as to how all this plays together. Hopefully that will get settled out soon. So Mark, any closing comments you want to bring forth?
No, I guess I'd reiterate what we talked about earlier in the conversation, John. The first is when you find yourself in a situation, whether you be a manager or an employee, and you've got a multi-generational gap, if you will, don't immediately put the defenses up and say, "Oh, well, we have to do it, you know, the way that my generation did it," whether that be, you know, kind of more rigid and more structural and more FaceTime in the office, or, you know, or the latter where you've got more flexibility and the blurring of the work-life balance thing. I think putting the defenses up isn't going to help anybody, right? So what we need to do is figure out a way to get the best out of the multiple generations. And to the degree we need to morph our style a bit to be able to do that, I think we need to be open and willing to do that and ask for help and input and mentoring from those in the other generation to help. The second thing is just there's a tremendous amount of energy and passion out there, you know, particularly with the newer, younger generations that are coming into the workforce. And I think those of us that may be from the earlier generations can certainly use and benefit from that passion and that energy. So I think it does us all a world of good to find a way to how to bring out the best in those that are coming into the workforce.
Great. Well, our goal today was to discuss several of the issues with trying to manage a multi-generational workforce and recognizing some of the industries and the different degrees of concern, as well as the organization, as well as different issues based on location, culture, et cetera. I think one thing I'd like to just kind of highlight is I think that really listening is going to be the key to success in this, and really listening to what the different generations' perspective is and then trying to come up with a mid-ground to work with it.
I agree.
So, Mark, thanks very much for being part of the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
I'm always glad to have you here, and we have a contact information for you at mconnolly, C-O-N-N-O-L-L-Y, 911@gmail.com. And John King can be reached at jking@headway-strategies.com. So if you have any questions, you want to reach out directly to either one of us, please feel free to do so. And then, as we say in all the shows, if you have a topic that you would like to have us offer an opinion on, please email John, and we'll see what we can do to get it on the show. So finally, this is John King on the URB Business Network, reminding you to continue listening to Making Headway, because remember, we can help you make headway.
Broadcasting from Woburn, Mass. This is the UR Business Network.